if that don't get your blood pumping, I don't know what will.
Nothing.
Good grief.
Nothing. A coffee IV. Some
dude.
Pain.
Who the thunk? Who the thunk that Tommy Lee, one of the greatest drummers of all time, in my opinion,
amen to that,
could put out a banger like this playing guitar and singing? I mean, dude.
Tommy did.
This is great. Here we go.
I wish I would have gotten to see them play live, dude. That would have been one of the rare occasions where I kind of dusted off my mosh pit abilities, hit the stage, and like face planted off the front.
You know what? Well, side bit of information there.
I would have loved it.
That song was written with Clint Lowry from Seven Dust, who we also
I did not know that.
Are friends with, yeah. So that's our Tommy Lee connection.
All right.
Through Clint from Seven Dust. Shout out to Clint.
Well, cool. Well, today we have a guest, don't we?
We have a guest on the Real Deal podcast. We'd like to do that from time to time, and I'm really excited for this with Scott. Tell us who we're talking with today.
So, real quick, I met this guy a couple weeks ago at the Vault Conference down in Miami. Having this yacht party, and I saw this dude. I was like, man, that guy's like, he's in shape. And he came over, and we started talking, and had a lot of cool things in common, a lot of same mindset things, and so he kind of told me a little bit about what he did. And immediately when that conversation was over, I said, got to have you on the podcast. He's like, let's roll. So, and this particular guy, so he's we talk a lot about fitness here, and there's a lot of so-called fitness experts out there. Some are good, some are bad. You know, some tell you what to do, but yet those people aren't actual products of their program. So Taj, who's our guest today, is different. He actually works on the number one most important thing that you need in any health or diet or physical routine first, and that is your mind. He works on your mind first, because without the right mindset, trust me, folks, you are destined to fail.
I mean, amen to that.
Yeah.
I'll give that a harump.
He even guarantees results. What trainer guarantees results? That's awesome. So, like I said, you know, we met at the conference a few weeks ago. He was there working on his mind. I was there working on my mind. But I got to say, this is a podcast, so you cannot see us. But I'm telling you, this, ladies, do yourself a favor. Look this guy up. He's a stud. He's an entrepreneur. He's a father. And he's also an IFBB pro, which means he's got cred. But most of all, he's a really cool guy that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed talking to a couple of weeks ago. And I know that you'll enjoy hearing from him as well. So everybody, including Keith, say hey to Taj Howell. What's up, buddy?
Taj Howell. Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm glad to be here.
Glad to hear the introduction.
Turn that racket off. Let's get down to it. Turn that stupid song off. Shut up,
hey,
Tommy.
Hey, man, that was a good introduction, dude.
Add that to your workout playlist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we just like replay the song and all drop down and start doing burpees real quick?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's go. You'll win.
50.
I'm doing a challenge with a guy right now, another preacher friend of mine on Facebook who lives in Texas, also really into fitness and that sort of thing. He had a very similar situation to me. He actually had a heart attack 7 years ago. And so after that, it was kind of, and he wasn't like in bad shape, right? He was in, you know, I would say, you know, average shape, you know, a guy that used to be athletic and a little more sedentary in his life. Anyway, he had a heart attack and like scared him. I mean, literally almost to death. Yeah. And so he got serious, man. He got serious about it. And so he and I right now have a challenge. We started it on Sunday, 100 pushups a day for 365 days. And, you know, we're taking pictures every day to see what difference it's going to make, you know, come September the 1st next year.
Yeah.
So
awesome. I love that. Something to push you, accountability buddy, to keep you accountable.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah.
So yeah,
if I don't post, he has this page. And if I don't post on the page that I did my 100 today,
he's going to post some new pictures of you.
He starts blowing me up. Like, where you at? Where you at?
Blackmail.
Yeah.
Blackmail.
I've got a group like that.
It's all about guilt and shaming people. That's our motivation.
Yeah.
It is. It is, man. The guys that I run with, we got one guy's in his 20s, one guy's in his 30s, one guy's in his 40s. And I'm in my 50s. So we got the 20, 30, 40, 50 club. And I'm telling you, man, I don't want to use the excuse, well, I'm the old guy, I can't do what they do. I don't let that creep into my head. I want to win. I want to win every single time. And it holds me accountable and it pushes me. Oh, it's this not about me. It's not about you, Keith. It's about Taj today.
Absolutely. Right?
So you may be asking yourself, who the hell is Taj Howell? Well, he's going to tell us. So he's going to give us a little bit of his background. But my question is, obviously, your beginnings were probably real similar to mine and Keith's, but tell me a little bit about your background story, like your parents, who you were in high school, you know, were you a good kid, were you a bad kid, etc.
Okay, cool. So, okay, let's go back. Let's do this. So I was raised by, two loving parents. I was raised really well, in my opinion. I was raised really well. My parents were both there. I had a stepdad and a father, and both of them were in the picture. So, you know, I don't have that kind of background. But for me, what really happened was as I started to age, as I started getting older, I started kind of getting more independent, realizing that I could start doing stuff that my parents didn't want me to do. and so got to the point, you know,
like what?
High school. Yeah. So dude, like I got into high school, started partying. Wasn't really taking it seriously. Got good enough grades in high school to get into university. Ultimately got into business school. But I think there was a time between junior high and high school where something kind of like switched and I kind of became more independent in a bad way. So I started smoking weed and started going down that route. I started drinking more. I started like skipping school. I started to not listen. You know, every teenager rebels. Come on, 16. Everybody rebels, right? Of course.
Yeah, we were there.
Of course. And so that kind of led into university. The university I went to was, you know, not the best in the city, but it was still pretty good. Yeah, Canada.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Got into business school. And then what happened was, you know, this is right before I met my current woman. But before I met her, like I hit a real rock bottom point in my life. Right. Like I had grown up and kind of was just doing stupid stuff. I was drinking every day. I was working at the bars. I was doing drugs every day. I was doing a lot of coke. You know, I was being an idiot. I was drinking and driving all the time. I crashed two vehicles. Okay. Two vehicles from drinking and driving. I got arrested twice, you know, for minor things, but still, hey, you know, still.
Jail is no fun. We know.
Yeah. No, it's no fun, right? It's no fun. And you know, in that same summer where all of this stuff was happening, I got kicked out of my parents' house and I got fired from 5 jobs in one summer, right? 5. Like that is not even, not even a lie. 2 electronic stores and 3 bars in the span of like 7 weeks. It was crazy because I was
showing up. You got to do a lot of bad stuff to get fired from a bar.
Dude, I was showing up late, showing up drunk. I got thrown in a jail cell one time and missed my shift. And tried to explain it to my manager. And my manager was like, just go home. just go home. I was like, okay, whatever. Right. And so it was in that time where, you know, and it wasn't all bad. Like when I was a kid, I was a good kid. You know, I would always do my homework and do that, all that stuff. But as I gained more independence, it kind of backfired on me. Right. And so around that like dark point in my life where I had no direction, I actually met my first mentor, right? Mm. And this mentor was a world natural bodybuilding champion, right? And I met him. I was like, man, this guy's so cool. Like he's in his 50s, but he looks like he's like 30. He's like jacked. He's won world championships. He's actually the highest paid trainer to this day, still in my hometown. Like hundreds of clients. Like it's crazy how many people he helps. And so he was a huge inspiration for me. And he kind of took me under his wing at that time. And he was like, listen, Taj, like I told him everything, right? And he was like, listen, if you want to better your life, and I told him all my goals, if you want to build a good family, you know, you want to build a business, you want to start winning like pro cards and competing and doing that at a high level and build a body that you've always wanted. He's like, you got to fix your mindset, right? Like your mindset is just trash right now. And so what he did was he handed me a book. And this book, I'm telling you, I swear to God, this book right here, it was full of scribbles. Every page had like notes written on it, the whole book.
Yeah.
Right. And it was called The Greatness Guide by Robin Sharma. hands me the book, and it like had coffee stains all over it. I was like, what is this, right? He hands me this book, and he's like, read this book. It changed my life. I know for a fact it's going to change yours.
Was it specifically geared towards bodybuilding or just
mindset? No, mindset in general. Is the greatness guide. And basically, the book talks about like what it takes for a person to achieve greatness in life. Yeah, dude, it's an amazing book. I think it was written in the 90s, but still, it's amazing. Great message. And so it took me a while because I wasn't much of a reader, you know, but I eventually picked the book up. Yeah. Back then I wasn't a reader. I'm a reader now. But
back
then,
I am now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally. And so I eventually picked the book up, read it. And you know, when you have one of those light bulb moments.
Yes.
Where it's
100%,
just 100%. Like, where it just, it's almost like, I can see clearly now. Yeah. It's like, holy smoke. It's like bananas, yeah. Dude. It was like something completely shifted inside me. It was like, this is my problem.
Yeah. Stephen Covey calls that a paradigm shift. It's like, you're the same guy. You're in the same body. You're in the same place, but your world and how you think about things changes in an instant.
Yep. And so it was literally like that. In that moment, I remember deciding, it was like, I'm committing my life to personal development. And that was even before I started wanting, like, I wanted to compete so, but like the first thing was like, Cam, I am going to master mindset, personal development. I want to become the master of myself.
So let me
and
guess.
So that's what sparked everything.
Yeah. I mean, that is unbelievable. It's believable because we've been through it. I mean, some people have, some people have not. I'm going to guess that the first problem you had with that is that you've had this epiphany, you have this great mentor, but yet your circle of influence, like all your friends and your buddies and stuff, were completely not on that page at all. You want to speak to that?
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Okay. So that's a great question. Back then, around that bad time, I had a lot of bad friends, a lot of people that were drinking a ton, a lot of people doing a lot of drugs, a lot of people, like, for example, I'll just give you an example. I'm not going to say any names because I don't want anybody to Steve. Hear this and then like point fingers back in my old life. You know what I mean?
But we know Steve.
I worked at a bar. I'll just say a bar. And my boss in that bar, my boss in the bar, he did a lot of sports betting, right? Mm-hmm. And like some of his closest friends were bookies, right? And so a lot of money, right? And they were affiliated with like other like bad, like gangs and stuff like that. Anyways, a lot of people owed my boss money, right? Because he was kind of into like sports betting and stuff, right? And so guys would pay him in drugs. Mm. They would literally like pay him in drugs. Yeah. And so I was at a bar, like I would be working at a bar. It'd be like 6 p.m. and my boss would be like, yo, let's go. And I was like, okay. So most people, they try to hide that stuff from people in their lives. They try to hide it from their work. They try to hide it from everybody. But it was like, for me, it was just open. My boss was doing it. My coworkers were doing it. People in my bar were doing it. My people sitting at the bar were doing it. My friends were doing it. It was like all over the place. It was bananas, right? And so I had to, like, there was a point where I was managing one of the bars and I was doing well. I was making pretty good money for back then, right? Yeah. So I thought, and I got an opportunity to go work with the same mentor in his gym that he'd worked at for the last 15 years as a personal trainer. My pay was going to get cut down into like a third of what it was in managing the bar.
So you were going to have to leave the bar in order to go work with him? Okay.
Because I knew, like, I was like, it's either I work at this bar for the rest of my life, or I see how deep the rabbit hole goes, like the Matrix style. I was like, I'm going to make no money at all, but I'm going to learn a lot and I'm going to be surrounded by people who are obsessed with fitness.
Yeah.
And so I told my boss, I was like, man, I got to go. I'm out. Right. So I left, I started training, personal training at the club. And that same mentor took me under his wing. You know, he helped me with everything. He taught me everything he knew. He taught me all his programs. He trained me for my first competition, which I won at 21. I became the youngest WBFF pro in the entire league at 21 with his help. Wow. And so that was an epic, insane moment. And then he helped me again about 18 months later to place number 5 in all of North America in the WBFF North America event. So yeah. like I was just, I got obsessed with it. I got committed. I really got serious yeah. about it. And as I was doing that, I was learning and I was reading books and just getting better, you know, better and better and better over time. And what eventually happened was working in the gym, I just learned that it's not what I wanted to do because gyms, they have their own agendas, you know, and any listener out there listening to this right now, you got to take this, listen to this, hear it. When you work with a personal trainer, usually they're owned by a gym and the gym just wants sessions, right? Sell right. sessions. Doesn't matter if the person doesn't need sessions, sell them sessions. And so I felt like I've been a cog in a wheel. Yeah. I felt like a cog in a wheel. You know, I was like, okay. I was like, man, my clients are getting great results. Okay, cool. How much did you sell today? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't yeah. sell anything. I'm like, okay, well, you got to step it up. Let's go. Get in here at 5 a.m. Don't leave until 9 p.m. it's just crazy. Right. And so I was like, this is not for me. First of all, my time isn't scalable at the, like, I can only help like 10 people a day. Like I want to help right. thousands of people. Right. And so I transitioned my business online and that's kind of what got me started into what I've grown today.
Awesome.
So you had something, Keith?
I was going to say, I mean, I can identify with a lot of that with what you just said, you know, whenever, you know, it was kind of hard for me whenever Scott and I were in the band and I realized that the environment that I was in, the bar scene that you were talking about, you know, I hid my drug use from them too. Now we would all party together from time to time, but, right. but what's none of those guys knew how deep my problem was. You know, coke was a drug that I did by myself, you know, and mainly I didn't want right. to share it. Right. It was mine. I didn't want to share it. And
that
so I was
expensive.
It is. And so I would right. do it by myself. And so I hid it from them. Right. And so whenever I got out of that, when I was leaving, I had to leave him. Right. I mean, this is my best friend right. in the whole world. And I had to walk away from him and the thing that we had built because my home life, I was about to get divorced. You know, I had a 2-year-old right. daughter. I mean, we had just bought a house and I mean, I stood to lose that. I mean, it was, you know, there was a lot of reasons for me to step out of that. And it's funny, man, whenever you do, you get those people that you used to run with, not Scott, nobody in my band, but I would have people call and they're like, hey man, where are you? You know, why mm-hmm. aren't you hanging out? You know?
Yep.
And the thing I got asked most often, here I was trying to better myself mm-hmm. and they would say, hey man, what's wrong with you? Right. And it yep. was like, that's such a dichotomy because it's like, there's a lot wrong with me. I'm trying to get better. You know, what are you asking me? Yep. Are you asking me what's wrong with me? Because I'm not still doing what y'all are doing. I'm not still staying in the same place. The better question might be, well, what's right with you? Right. And so you had this moment that you're talking about, that light bulb moment where everything changes and the room kind of shifts and you see things from this perspective now where before you couldn't. And so I identify with so much of what you said. And I love to hear other people tell these type of stories because it, number one, it confirms that those of us that do have that moment, mm-hmm. it's all very similar. There's a moment where there really is clarity that, right. that I was here and it wasn't clear, but now I'm here and it is clear. So fantastic description of the way you put that. I completely identify with what you're saying.
Yeah, same here. And a lot of the key factors, I guess, that went into that, as you mentioned, one is you were lucky enough to have attracted, and I use the word attracted because it's what you needed at that time in your life. You were able to attract a mentor, right? Yeah, yeah. He put a book in your hand, even though you weren't a reader.
Yep.
Maybe it's because of the visual aspect of the book and because of who it came from made you want to read it. And yep. then when you had that epiphany, that light bulb moment, you know, you actually put in the work. You changed your environment and you took a chance. You said, you know, I'm making money where I'm at now. This is fun, mm-hmm. but I know that it's not going to serve me well over time. And we yep. talked about this in last week's podcast when we talked about builders, managers, and passengers. You know, builders, if you're a builder, which I know that you are, if you're a builder, you're willing to take less money now for the greater good of the bigger picture. And I applaud you for doing that because not a lot of people would do that. But in the characteristics of a true builder, you did that. And I think all of us can say right now with 100% certainty that your life changed for that. And that's what made you want to become an entrepreneur. So at that point you decided, you probably didn't say these words, but that at that point you became a builder. You were a passenger at one point, not a very good one, but now you're a builder. And so now that you moved into becoming an entrepreneur, obviously now we know what made you want to become an entrepreneur, but you obviously knew a lot about fitness and mindset, and you've been, you know, you were starting to have some early successes at that point, but what really made you think that you could be a CEO? Now, being a bodybuilder is one thing. Being a CEO is a completely different mindset. Can you tell us how you started getting into knowing, realizing that, hey, my body's great. I got to work on my mind and my CEO skills.
Right. So that's a good question. I think the best way to answer it is with an analogy. Okay. So I don't know if you've ever heard the old sheepdog analogy, right? And this, I think you guys are going to relate to this really, really well. There's an analogy and it's old and it goes, I don't know exactly how it goes, but basically talks about a sheepdog.
He's going to say it comes from the Bible.
Hey, you know, maybe, you know that's what I do here, man.
He's looking right now. Look at he's looking right now, trying to find a sheepdog passage.
Exactly, right? But no, man. So like sheepdogs or any dog, right? But just whatever, it's sheepdog. If you give them the trail, you give them a scent, you know, and you get them to go and hunt something down, they'll go and they'll like be laser focused and they'll go and they'll crush it and they'll find the animal or whatever you're hunting or whatever, right?
Right.
That same sheepdog, if just left in your backyard with nothing to do, no vision, no clarity, no, you know, nothing to track, nothing to hunt, will literally just dig holes all over your backyard. Just dig holes, rip stuff up, and ultimately dig its own grave.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe a person who deep down should be, in my opinion, who deep down should be a business owner, CEO, entrepreneur. Because I've found, you know, talking to so many people, working with so many executives, so many entrepreneurs over the years, and like looking intrinsically at my own self, right? I found that a lot of the guys that are entrepreneurs, they didn't do good in school, or they, you know, had drug pass or drinking pass or whatever pass. And what ultimately happened was that person had no direction. And so they were just digging holes all over the place, right? just going nuts. So much energy, right? Because you think about a sheepdog, you think about an entrepreneur, you think about an executive. That's a high energy person, high productive person. But if they don't have a path, they'll just dig their own graves, right? Yeah. So the three of us, I think we were in the part where we were digging our own graves. And then we finally found something, a vessel that gave us direction. And then once we got that direction, we turned that into the productive sheepdog where we can actually go hunt whatever we need to hunt.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in the phrase that says, you know, that life abhors a vacuum, or nature abhors a vacuum. And the idea that you know, when something is missing in our lives, we will fill that with something, right? And it's often the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Once you fill that with the right thing, there's no vacuum. Right. But something will fill that void all the time. And so, you know, like you're talking about, you know, finding your direction is crucial to stopping that cycle of destruction. Yeah. Cause like you said, we'll just dig our own graves.
Absolutely. And ultimately, like getting back to your like question about when I figured out that I could be a CEO. I personally always knew since I was a kid. Like I always wanted to be wealthy. I always, always, always wanted to be wealthy. I always love Fast and Furious. Cars are my thing. I love vehicles. Yeah, I've always wanted to have wealth so that I could like live my life. And ultimately I think for me, and I'm kind of coming to this realization on this podcast right now. So this is really cool. You guys are helping me realize new stuff about myself. But back when I dropped out of university, it was because my girlfriend, who's my wife at the time, she's right there, super cute. she basically told me, "Hey, wife, yeah, exactly." She basically told me, she's like, she wasn't in university, and she was like, "I want to go to Asia." I was like, "Asia? What do you want to go to Asia for?" And she's like, I just feel drawn there. I want to go there. You want to come with me?" And I was like, "Sure." So dropped out of university without even a thought.
That's the power of a woman right there. Dude, it's not Asia. It's the woman.
Yeah, it's the woman, right? Exactly. Right. And dropped out of university, went to Asia, and we actually went there on with a mission to teach English. And so we were teaching English as a second language to Thai kids and Lao kids and Cambodian kids and all these different places, right? And, you know, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I came back from that trip a different person. Like before that, I didn't know where I was going. I came back from that trip, and this was before I met, like kind of around the time I met my mentor, with the goal of being like, hey, I'm gonna get into fitness, because I started working out there, you know, and I started valuing freedom out there. And the realization that I was originally thinking of is I've kind of built my whole life around being free. Like that's something that's one of the most important things to me, is freedom. Like having the freedom to be the person I want, be the father I want, have as much time with my kids as I want, have as much money to do what I want, you know, to be able to give back to people the way that I want, take care of my parents, all that kind of stuff. Freedom, you know, and that 100%. Trip helped me see that.
And that's what most people aren't, right? The book that changed my life when I was in a very bad spot, I lost my job. I got laid off, and I was at a friend's house. We're getting ready to go out drinking, and there was a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki sitting on the coffee table. I know Pat was kind of making fun of it at the conference, but hey, man, it changed my life. It changed my life. And when I read the book, he talks about freedom, right? He talks about getting out of the rat race. And it really opened my eyes to, when you look around the environment that you're in, you know, and the words that people use. And I realized that the people that did not have freedom used terms like, you know, working for the weekend, another day, another dollar. Thank God it's Friday, you know, just over broke. I mean, you know, they had this mindset that kept them in the rat race, and it kept them not free. And we talked about this on another podcast too. A lot of people who I maybe grew up with or used to know, my life is different now than what it was then. And we talked about financial freedom, and a lot of people will criticize you or somebody that's successful once they become successful from nothing, because you've sort of moved on. You've sort of left them. Right.
Right.
And, I'm having an epiphany now. And as much as that hurts me, it doesn't bother me to the point where I know that I'm working towards freedom, because I want the same things that you do. And, right. The house, the car, you know, the watch, the this, that, and there. All it's not, I don't do it. I don't want to be wealthy for those things. Those are derivatives of achieving all that stuff. But it's what you said, man. It's freedom. It's about being able to take care of your parents. It's about having time, because I'm older than you guys are. When you turn 50, you realize, man, time is your most, it's been said 1,000 times, time's your most valuable asset. That means nothing when you're in your 20s and 30s. If you're listening to this and you're in your 20s or 30s, what I just said means a hill of beans to you. But if you're 60, if you're 70, dude, that's the weight of an elephant. And it is important. And if having more money gives me freedom and it gives me time with my family and my wife and my friends, that's a great feeling. And when I got to the point where I could jump off this podcast and go to the airport and fly anywhere in the world that I want to and stay for a month, that's a good feeling. I wish everybody could feel that. But the fact of the matter is, most people won't sacrifice and they won't put in the work to do what it takes to have that. They just want to be comfortable. Am I wrong?
Dude, you're so right. And I think a great way to prove that point is, like, I don't know, it might be a good idea for us to talk kind of about our struggles building to where we are now. I think that might be a good direction for this, because there was one point where in my business, like, I had negative $150 in my bank account, credit cards maxed, like no appointments booked, you know, not like nothing, like literally, like I remember
not going so to glamorous gym. At that point, right?
Exactly,
it's not all like duckies and bunnies.
No, there was, and that went on for like years. Like when I was a personal trainer, even working under my mentor, I was making $1,200 a month, Canadian.
$900. Yeah.
It's like $900, right? And
big timer.
My girlfriend, and I had to pay rent, and I had all this stuff. And like, it, And so, like, I remember there was even times where my mother-in-law, who loves me and supports the crap out of me, like, she always believed in me, but still, like, there was one point where she was like, hey, like, she knew we were struggling, right? Like, struggling. And she was like, are you, like, do you, are you going to get a job, or like, kind of like pushing me to like do something? And I was just telling like, no, nope. I burned the boats a long time ago. I can't, I gotta do this until it works. I will bash my head against that wall for years until I make this happen, because I would rather, when I'm, like you said, time, when I'm 50 or 60 or 70, I would rather know that I gave it my best effort and died trying than never try and never be able to live my dreams.
Absolutely.
I'd rather die than live my dreams.
So very similar, like where I was working, kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. I was working for a company doing, you know, multifamily project management. We'd renovate entire apartment complexes and that sort of thing. Anyway, I had built that company. We talked about this in the last podcast. I had built up from you know, I was given a $1.5 million job. I ended up selling another $4 million worth of work for them. And I wasn't even in sales. That was just my, you know, I wouldn't just sit and wait for things to happen. I would try to make things happen. I did all this work for them, made them a lot of money. I was still making the same salary that they hired me for, right? You know, and then ultimately they let me go because they, the property owner they worked, that we were doing all this work for, got hit with a class action lawsuit in Florida for mold remediation. And like that, even though I'd won an award for project manager of the year and I'd won a, you know, all this stuff, these accolades, they let me go. And I realized then they sent me with a nice recommendation letter. They gave me a decent severance package, but ultimately I was expendable. That I had, man, I had worked and I mean like 70, 80 hours a week sometimes, you know, building wealth for them. And I didn't get anything. At the end of the day, I got a pink slip, you know, that said, sorry, but we got to let you go. And so I realized then and I spent a few days at home. Well, I spent about a month at home looking for the job market in Atlanta at the time was flooded. Guys just like me looking for jobs. And I was spending this time with my kids. And my son at the time was, you know, was almost four. He was three, about three and a half. And I was noticing all these little things that I was missing. And I was like, man, I really want more time here. Not 80 hours a week for someone else, but I mean, I need to be doing stuff here. And that was my light bulb moment. I said, I'm going to do something else. You know, and then within a month, I had started my roofing company and was well on my way. And what I realized is that if I get up out of bed with that same fire that I had to make those people money, to build their company, to sell $4 million worth of work for them, why couldn't I do that for me? Right? There was nothing stopping me but me, you know? And so it became this, well, like Scott talks about the paradigm shift where I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something else. You know, that you're exactly right. I want to raise my kids, right? I want to be here for that. I want to see that. And honestly, that's the same thing that stops most of us is ourselves, you know? It's because it's difficult.
It's not easy.
You have to see around that wall, right? I mean, you just have to see, the wall is always there with the majority of everyone on this planet. The wall, everyone has a wall that they hit, they can't get around or whatever. And it's breaking through that wall or seeing around that wall to know that you can break through it, I think is the key. And that sounds like that's what happened to you. You eventually saw around your wall and you broke through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, like kind of addressing what you just said about people working hard for other people, but then not being able to work hard for themselves. I see that so much.
I bet.
You know, I see that so much with my clients, with people around me, with people in my family. And what's weird for me to see, especially, is when a person is willing to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to the rigs. You know, because I'm from Alberta. You got a lot of riggers, right? So they'll wake up at 5 a.m. to go to the rigs. But then when they're on their days off, they're drinking until 2 a.m. and then they sleep in until like 11. They're not doing anything for themselves and they're wondering why they're stuck. Right. And ultimately, I think what it comes down to is for you, and you can tell me if this was different for you, Keith, but I'm curious to know. For me, it was actually being able to see what my life could be like if I rendered the work necessary to achieve it.
Yeah.
Like, and I call that clarity. That's the first step that I take with every single client that I work with in my program, is I get them ultimate clarity on the, like, their ultimate lifestyle. Right. And so for you, like, would you say that you achieved that level of clarity when you had that light bulb moment? You kind of thought about, hey, like, if I start this business, I might be able to do X, Y, Z and be here more for my kids. Like, what did that clarity look like for you, man? I'm curious. Cause for me, it was insane.
Well, I was so convinced that the traditional idea of, you know, work hard, make money, you know, so that if I went to my job and I worked hard for that company, I would be rewarded by more money. And there's an aspect of that which is true, right? I mean, that when someone is working and you're giving your all, the company is going to give you incremental raises and that sort of thing. And they might even give you a nice end of the year bonus. And that's great. I mean, and honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I realized is that that's as far as it was ever going to go for me. And like we talked about earlier, you know, you're just digging holes, you know? Honestly, if that's what someone is like, you know, we talked about last podcast, Scott, you know, if someone is a manager and that's what they're good at and that's what they want to do, nothing in the world wrong with that. But for someone with an entrepreneurial mind, striving for more is always on the plate. And so it's always on the table. And so for me, it was that moment that I could finally see clearly where I wanted to be versus where I was. Because before, when I was working, you know, head down, just pushing forward, working all the time, I finally lifted my head and looked out and saw, I was like, that's what I could have.
Right.
Why am I not doing that? You know, I was like, I know all about this business. I know I've got all the right relationships in, you know, vendors and subcontractors and, you know, suppliers. I have all the right relationships. I have the knowledge. Why am I doing this for someone else? And asking that question was almost like saying, is this what I really want? And looking at the job, you're like, no, this is not what I want. And so you remove that, and then I could see the long view. I could see the long game and say, over there, that's what I want. And honestly, you know, that's where I'm at now. I woke up and I saw it finally. And I just had to, you got to start taking steps.
Well, that requires vision, right? And it all boils down to, if I can paint another picture, I will never, ever, ever not advocate for people to be an entrepreneur. I'm one of those people that feel that, I mean, everything we have in our lives, these microphones we're talking on, the computers, the house that we're in, all that stuff was created by an entrepreneur. Name one thing of any consequence that was not created by an entrepreneur. I'll wait.
Fabulous.
There's nothing. So I'm all for that. However, it's not for everybody. There's some people who are just not built that way. There are some people who don't have the tolerance, or they're not risk averse, or they don't have the work ethic. And that's fine. But it's all about knowing who you are, what you want, and what your vision for your life is. Some people don't want that risk or that pain or that stress of worrying about $100,000 a week payroll, or somebody got hurt out on a job site, or, you know, I can't pay the bills this month, or, you know, things like that. People don't really publicize all the bad stuff that they go through. They just want to talk about all the successes and the wins and the rewards. But when people realize how difficult it really is, I think that's what shies people away from wanting to be an entrepreneur. But whether you want to be an entrepreneur or not, you can be good at your job and still have a great life. There are plenty of people who are entrepreneurs who work within somebody else's business who make tremendous, they're billionaires who don't own their own business. They work within somebody else's business. You just have to know yourself, know what you're good at, and have a vision for what you want for your life. And you may want to work 40 hours, you know, bust your tail, go home, spend time with your kids, and you're happy doing that. And if that's what makes you happy, by all means, do it. But I will suggest to you that the three people on this call and a lot of people listening to this podcast want more for their lives. They want to squeeze every last single drop that they can get out of it before we leave this earth. And I know the three of us are like that. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
100%. For me, you know, for me, the driving force was spending that time with my son when he was three, my daughter when she was eight, right? And there's this, I'm sorry, not eight. She was 10. Yeah, he was three, she was 10. There's a 7-year gap between them. And I realized how much of their lives I had missed. And I was like, there's got to be a better way for me to not just make money. Look, anybody can make money. Go get a job, you'll make money. Right. That's the bottom line. If you know, I can work at McDonald's and make money, not a lot, but money can be made. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not about making money. It's about providing for me and in my experience, the greatest resource that I have is time. Right. My time is my greatest resource. And that is the thing that motivates me to continue with this because I get to be home more. Right. I get to be available more. I know what it's like to grow up without a dad. And I know that the things that I struggle with because of that. And so for me, it was a priority to be here as much as I could for my kid and still provide a life that's going to allow them a lot of the things that I didn't get as a kid growing up, you know. Not to say that I want my kids to be entitled or privileged or anything like that, because I do want them to struggle. I think struggle is vitally important for
100%, yeah.
People when they're growing up. I mean, if everything is given to you, then you don't understand what it means to earn and the rewards associated with that. But still, you know, I wanted to have a net, you know, and that's what this lifestyle does. You know, waking up every day knowing that I'm responsible for whatever gets done that day, for making it happen. But also reaping the rewards of that, knowing that I can get done what I need to get done in a couple hours most of the time, that affords me the ability to be here and to also focus on ministry, which is my other passion. So it, you know, for me, my roofing business is a means to an end, is to provide more time.
Right.
Right.
I think we agree that success, no matter where you find yourself, whether it be running a business, working in a business, or just being a passenger in a business, it's all about mindset. Now, I know, Taj, you told me about some of the different clients that you work with. Some of them are executives, right?
Yep.
And,
a lot of executives.
And a lot of them are not, correct?
Yeah. So most tell people, me. Well, most people that I work with are, honestly, most people I work with are business owners.
Okay.
Business owners, executives, entrepreneurs, some realtors too. Quite a bit of realtors, actually. People that aim to produce results.
How do they react when you talk to them about how, you know, they come to you because they want a great physique, right? They want to be in better shape. But how do they react? Because your methodology specifically works on their mental state first and their attitude and their vision and their clarity. Right. So talk about a little bit about how you use these things and what your methodology is when you first take on it. Say, I'm going to be your client starting next month. Wink, wink. And what's nice. The first thing that you're going to do to work on me and my mindset? How do you go about doing that?
Okay. So the first thing that I do, the first step is clarity and alignment. Okay. And the best way to outline that is to let you know what the question I had to ask myself for like 6 years was until I finally figured it out. And the question is, how can I get someone to make the right decisions every day? How can I, as a person who's coaching you through a computer or a phone in another country, influence you to make the right choices, to eat the right food, exercise, wake up on time, do your follow-ups in your business, do all this stuff you got to do. How can I do that? I tried to answer that question for 6 years and I literally didn't figure it out until I discovered for myself what it was, because there was a lot of time. Like, and I'll tell you this, honestly, pre-2019, I was still making bad decisions sometimes. Still go out and drink. I was still go out and do bad things like every so often, right? Like not all the time, like before, but pre-2019, I was still making bad decisions sometimes. Post-2019, I'm like a monk, but it's because I figured this out. And so what it really comes down to, the way that a person can consistently make the right decisions in their marriage, with their fitness, with their finances, with their saving and investing, with their, everything that they're doing, is by living aligned with the best version of themselves. If they can actually paint a picture for the perfect version of Scott Sellers, or for Keith, I don't know your last name.
Stoneheart,
right? Oh yeah, the band. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Keith Stoneheart, right? If we can paint the picture of the ultimate version of you guys, to where you know every single thing that you do, every characteristic that you have, your habits, your core values, your beliefs, the way that you are with your kids, your time freedom, what your bank account looks like, what your business looks like, what your responsibilities are. If we can paint that ultimate picture, then what I actually do is I get them to paint that picture, first of all. And then I teach my clients how to strategically visualize themselves in that situation. And what that does is that tricks the brain into believing that it's real now. Right. So we do visualizations. 100%. We do morning routine. Well, I have a very specific 30-minute morning routine that I implement in all my clients' lives. And that's what it's based around. It's based around them visualizing themselves as the best version of themselves with the best habits, everything that they've ever wanted. And what it does is it instills belief into your subconscious. Mm-hmm. Number one, it channels power from the ultimate version of yourself. Because here's the thing, there's a million versions of us. And you guys are going to love this because you guys have been in the point where I've been too, with the drugs and the partying and stuff. There's a version of me right now who stayed in the bar. I'm almost 27. There's a version of me who stayed in the bar until now.
Yeah.
And was doing all that stuff, all that bad stuff, drinking and drugs and all this stuff until now, who lost my woman, who doesn't have the kids that I have right now, who doesn't live in the Dominican Republic, who's stuck in Canada in a dead end job with no hopes for getting out. There is a version of me who did
that. That is heavy.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's probably one of the better ways of putting it that I've ever heard. You know, people complain about kind of where they are now sometimes, but think about what you look like had you not made some of the decisions, fortunately, that you've made now.
Oh, I'm dead.
And take the same thing. Yeah.
That version of me is dead. I talk often about, you know, my daughter was two. My daughter was two when I decided to get sober and get out of that lifestyle. I'm quite certain that had I stayed, somebody else would be raising my kids right now. You know what I mean? The other version of me is dead. So the fact that I'm here 21 years later, you know, still with my best friend, still, you know, and thriving in life, that version of me scares me to no end, you know, and that's what keeps me in this version.
I like the fact that you went back to wonder about what if I did not, but you can use that same power like you had talked about through number one, you got to believe. You have to believe that you're destined and you're capable of doing more. And the second thing, you said the word routine. You have to do the daily habits and make it a routine. And eventually it's not going to change tomorrow. It's not going to change by 3 o'clock on Wednesday of next week. It's just not. So if you want instant results, you know, this is not the path for you. It's like, how do you can't turn an aircraft carrier on a dime 90 degrees. It's constant, persistent pushing to get that thing to turn. Yeah. But if you can visualize, and we had a law of attraction episode a few episodes back where I always say, you know, if you can't see it here, and I point to my head and I said, you'll never see it here. And I always point out into the world, because if you can't see it in your head and believe that it can happen, you're right. Like Henry Ford said, if you believe a thing, if you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And so I love the fact that you go back and think about the other version of you that's stuck back in Canada somewhere. And it's got to make you even more grateful now that you are who you are now at a young age, living at a, you know, nice place with a gorgeous backdrop in the Dominican Republic with a successful business. And yeah, man, kudos to you. That is a fantastic story and perspective in looking at that.
Thank you, man. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Is like, that's the first step for every person that I talk to, is getting that clarity, getting that alignment. Once they can make the right decisions, then it's just a matter of applying the strategies that are that I've proven to work time and time and time and time.
All right, so this is what I always do in the podcast. So Scott knew this was coming.
Where there is
here
no vision,
is the biblical the aspect of that. So everyone's familiar with the phrase anyway, the prodigal son, right? Yep. That story in the Bible, the prodigal son. You have the son who, you have two sons and a father who had promised both of them an inheritance. The one son cashes out early, leaves home, goes out, wasted on hookers and drugs and alcohol, you know, whatever was available back then.
I met that guy one time.
Yeah. Well,
we've hung out. Yeah.
But here's the thing about it. And so the reason he's a prodigal is because he comes, it's like, it's in the scriptures, it says that he came to himself, right? So there's a moment where he looks around, he's standing in a pig slop, right? And he's like, you know what? Even the servants in my father's house live better than this. I'm just going to go back and I'll just be a servant in my father's house. I'll just go back and I'll be a slave, even to use that terminology. And so he has that moment where he's like, this version of me is no good.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a change. And he goes back. And of course, you know, when the father sees him coming down the road, he runs out to greet him, tells his, hey, kill the cow. We're going to have a party. My son has come home. Right. But that's essentially what we're talking about is that being able to have that moment where you say, this isn't it. There's, it's got to be better than this. And whether it is, or whether it isn't, is all up to me. Yep. I think, you know, we have 24 hours in a day. Right. And I think everyone has a moment where this particular hour could change the trajectory of everything, right? I could either stay the course and stay in the pig slop, or I can choose to be better. I can choose to be different. I love the fact that you bring that to the equation that, hey, listen, before we change your body, we've got to change your mind. No one does. I talk to Scott about this all the time. No one just gets up off the couch and runs a 5K. You have to decide, I want to run a 5K. Yeah. And then you begin the process of training and preparing and doing the things necessary to eventually make that a reality. But no one just arbitrarily gets up and starts running one. It won't happen. You'll stay on the couch until you change your mind.
Right.
So what's harder, Taj? Working on somebody's mind or working on their physical state?
Good question. Mind, 10 times out of 10.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, 10 times out of 10. And you know what? Like, when you mentioned belief earlier, so I only have one tattoo. I have to flex, but...
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe. Nice flex, dude.
Okay? Yeah. That's the only tattoo I have currently. I'm going to get more, but that's like the one that I got like first.
I love it.
And it's because belief is the most important thing. You know, it's what gets a person through the hard times is believing that there are better times ahead.
1000%.
Right? Hope,
1000%.
Right? And so I call, so there's a way that I can generate belief in a person. And it's an actual system that I use.
Do you beat them?
Yeah, I chase them in a pit in whatever they're afraid of. They're afraid of like pigs,
clown
knives.
Suit.
I'll chase them. Yeah, clown suit. Or something.
Yeah,
I'll chase them. Scared shitless fitness. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that YouTube video where they like scare the shit out of people, make them run upstairs and swim laps and stuff with like masks on, like crazy.
I love
it.
That works, man. That has got to work.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man. You hide in a Dunkin' Donuts with like a clown suit, chase them. But anyways, no, I call it a feedback cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. And a feedback cycle. So nothing ever starts with belief. That's something that's really, really important to understand.
Say that again.
Nothing ever starts with belief. Like you can't just start instantly with believing that you can be a millionaire. Like it just, like the belief isn't there. Like it's just not going to be there. What belief starts with, there's two things that like precurse belief, if that's the right terminology. It may not be.
Yeah, a precursor to belief.
Exactly. There are two precursors to belief.
Right.
The first one is thought, okay? Mm-hmm. So before a person can believe anything, they have to think it, or they have to have a thought. Hey, like, I wonder if I could be a millionaire. You think I can? Okay. So they have that thought, And that thought leads the person to take an action. Okay. And that action is, yeah, let's figure this out. Let's go. Let's start a business. Let's do this. Let's get the accounting right. Let's start sales. Let's figure out our product, blah, blah, blah. All these action steps.
Yeah.
What happens is from the action steps, belief is created. Right. So from the results that you get from the action steps, the belief is created. And this goes in two directions. So a positive feedback cycle is the one that I just said. Hey, I wonder if I can become a millionaire. Okay, cool. Let's start a business. Let's get some results. Hey, I believe that I can become a millionaire. I'm going to continue down this track.
Right.
There's also the negative feedback cycle that says, you know, hey, you know, I don't think I deserve this. You know, I don't think I deserve this life. You know, this is a person. This could be the same person who just started that business. Hey, I don't think I deserve this. I don't think I can handle the stress of it. I don't think I can do this. It takes them, you know, it forces them to take an action. Usually the action is negative. You know, people kill their stress with drinking or drugs or whatever it is that kills the pain, that kills the stress of being broke or being, you know, whatever, down and out. And then it leads that person to believe that the initial thought was correct, that they don't deserve it.
Yeah. Right?
So what I teach my clients is I teach a person to identify their thoughts. First of all, you got to identify if you're having positive thoughts or negative thoughts. And once you identify what the thought is, if it's positive or negative, you immediately identify it and you examine what is the action that I was about to just take, right? Like, what is the action that I was about to just take, right? Like some people, they get stressed out because their business didn't do the best. So they go binge eat food, or they're stressed out because whatever it is, because of COVID. So they go check the news and that's their action. And the news just like hammers you in the face
with negativity, yeah,
because that's all the news is. And then they believe, yeah, like COVID is the boogeyman, I'm going to die, right? These are all feedback cycles that are linked. And so what I get a person to do is identify their thoughts. From their thoughts, they say, hey, am I going to take a negative action? Oh yeah, like I really want to go drink alcohol right now, but it's a Tuesday and it's 2 p.m. Teach them to do, what I teach them to do is implement a massive, immediate positive action in place of the negative action. And what that essentially does is that shifts the feedback cycle from negative belief to positive belief, right? So I'll give you another example, like a realtor loses a deal. You know, first thought is, oh man, like maybe I don't deserve to do this. Initial thought, I'm going to go out and drink, or I'm going to go do this, waste time, whatever it is. Instead of doing that negative action, that person should take a positive, massive, immediate action. And what that could be is I'm going to follow up with 10 people right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on the phone with 10 people right now to take a positive, massive, immediate action. And that's going to change the belief from I don't deserve this to, hey, man, maybe I could do this.
Yeah, I love that so much, man. I mean, I would say you need to put writing a book on your list.
I have. I have written one.
So it's the people's positive mental attitude, right? That is the most valuable thing that you have. And in your case, as far as your physique or people's physiques improving, it doesn't start with going to the gym. It doesn't start with how much weight you lift or how many carbs or proteins you take in. It starts with your brain.
Whoa. Can we pause for a second and look at the size of that water jug?
I saw that
Holy
earlier.
Holy crap.
You could beat somebody to death with that thing.
It's a gallon. It's a gallon.
That's fantastic. Sorry.
I wasn't going to tell you this, kid. It's not that the jug is so big, but Taj is only 4'9".
So. Oh, I got you. Yeah,
exactly. It's only a liter.
Exactly. 1 liter.
Dude, that is fantastic. I got to get myself one of those. That's great.
Costco, man. Costco.
That's why his arms are so big, man. You pick that thing up 51 times a day.
That's right.
Can they get a lot like that? But, you know, I always talk about your personal internal GPS, right? Because if you have to go somewhere, what's the first thing you do? You pull out your phone or you put it in your car, you type in an address. Right. And that address does not change because that's your destination. That's where you're going. You're clear. I'm going to 123 Mockingbird Lane. That's where I'm going. Right. And the GPS will show you how to get there. But what happens when you go down the wrong street? Or you don't get off on the right exit. That, because you're so determined to get to that point and your GPS knows that that's where you're going, it'll give you little course corrections. And what you're talking about is purposefully making a course correction whenever you get off a little bit.
Exactly.
And it helps keep you on track. So doing those little things where it's automatic, instead of going off course and say, well, I'm just off course, screw it, I'll change my direction. You're like, no, it's not negotiable. This is where I'm going. This is my vision. This is my path. And if I get off course, well, I'm going to do something immediately to fix it before I get too far off course. I think that's invaluable, man. That's great for workout routine. It's great in your case, or like the example you just gave, if you're a realtor, if you're a CEO, if you're an employee, if you're a husband, you can use that in anything. So that's not just physical fitness advice. That's life advice. So yeah. I appreciate that analogy and that story. That was awesome.
Well, I can identify with that greatly, especially in the last couple of years where I went from, being in, the best shape I'd ever been in and, muscular and strong and all this stuff to the last 5 years of getting away from that. What I found was that there was a defeatist mindset that I got set in. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those like where I would change my eating habits. And I say, okay, look, I'm only going to, I'm going to take in this many calories. My macros are perfect, all this stuff. And then what happens? You blow it on a meal, right? You're like,
right,
I blew it. Well, you know what? The rest of the day doesn't matter. I'm just going to eat whatever I want the rest of the day. I'll start over tomorrow. Well, then you start over tomorrow. Do it again tomorrow. And then it becomes this thing where you're like, well, you know what? This week is shot. I better just start over next week. And what happens is that you incrementally, and it's a psychological thing that manifests physically, but you incrementally derail yourself from your own program. You know, that you say, you know what? I've blown
it. Sabotage.
Yeah, sabotage. Yeah, I've blown it. You know what? Fine. I'm just going to be this way. And then you settle, right? You decide, you know what? Well, yeah, this is just how it's going to be. You know what? I'm 48 years old now. I've earned a little bit of a belly. And it's that kind of thinking that so many people trap themselves into, where I can see where it's, these concepts that you're talking about are invaluable for keeping people out of that mindset. Dude, that is the death mindset. When we begin to settle, when we begin we let that set in on us, you've stopped living.
It's a death spiral.
It is. Yeah. You've stopped pushing and you let it happen. And so I think it's one thing to go down swinging, right? It's another thing to surrender, and when we surrender, it's over at that point. Go down swinging. You know what? Maybe someone will never have the body they had when they were 27, right? I might not ever get there again, but I'm going to go down swinging. That's the idea, is that I won't let it take me.
Right.
And I think the best way to do that, and Taj, you talked about it earlier, and I agree 1,000%, and that is your circle of influence, like the people you have around you. So to come full circle, and I personally want to have you come back on at some point, because I can sit here and talk for days, man. But maybe I'll have to will myself a plane ticket down to the Dominican, and we'll carry this conversation on. But as far as circle of influence, now you talked about you had a mentor. You said you're married now. You have kids. You have a new group of friends and people that you run with. I'm guessing different from the bar days, right? Real quick, just to wrap this up, how important, or talk about some people in your circle, your wife, your kids, any kind of mentors that you may have now, and some things that you do now to protect that sort of inner circle and how they keep you on the right track.
Great question. Fantastic question. So I went through a phase in my life where I was cutting people out. I went through a phase in my life where I cut friends out, a couple friends that were trying to influence me to do stuff with girls, even though I was married. I had friends that were trying to influence me to drink. And
I'm sure you have girls bullshit that are trying to I mean, look at you.
I keep that so far away, man. I try to keep it lock that in a box. Go away.
Do you try to do things to be more ugly, or is just being awesome looking like part of your life?
Listen, man.
Hey, I appreciate that, man.
Listen, I appreciate that more than because that is not the typical mindset of I don't want to say the world, but by and large, our world accepts that more. than sticking to your principles, dude. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Right. And here's a quick reason why right here. I know your listeners aren't going to be able to see, but Hendrix, say hi really quick.
There we go.
Okay. My kids just got back from play school.
He's shy. So, yeah,
good job, bud. It looks good. He just brought me a little painting. Looks good, buddy. Yeah, I'll see you soon. But anyways, sorry, what was the question?
It was just how your current, who is in your current circle?
Right.
And
right.
How do they keep you
okay
on track?
Okay. So my circle is so small. It's basically a period. It's non-existent. My circle is my kids, my wife, you know, family, video calls, especially now that I'm in Dominican Republic. I find that when I live, like now that we moved here, when I lived here for 4 months, it was the most productive 4 months I ever had, even though I was surfing every day and doing stuff I loved every single day because there was zero distractions. Can't even go to the mall. The nearest mall is 3 hours away. Like it's literally just like focus and then family time, focus, family time, surf time, workout. Like it's really like regimented, perfect schedule. So now I do family video calls once a week, my grandma and my in-laws and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then my circle is literally just my clients. And I only, like I'm very selective with who I work with.
Yeah.
I only work with people like that are trying to produce results in their careers, produce results in their, with their families, production-based business people, you know, entrepreneurs, executives, realtors, people that want to progress. And so I coach them on that. And ultimately what I get back is
it's a my two-way circle. Street. It's exactly. A two-way
I
street.
Get back my circle because all day long, every single day, I'm talking to people that are like-minded, that are focusing on results.
Right.
So it keeps me sharp. Keeps me sharp. I look at these guys' goals. I've got a couple of clients and their goal is to become billionaires. And so I look at their goals. That shit keeps me sharp. Right?
Yeah.
So my circle is my clients and my clients are my circle.
I have a thing.
Like the best thing.
I'm actually looking at it as we speak. One of my personal things to work on this year was focus on your circle of influence. Focus on quality people and quality conversations. Because you get a lot out of a good conversation. That's why I appreciated talking to you down in Miami. That's why I wanted to have you on. And this is exactly the kind of conversation that I thought that we were going to get. But to wrap it up, as far as your things, one of the main things why you've been able to find success and keep your circle tight is you've cut out a lot of distractions. Yeah. I mean, 98% of your distractions, you're focused on things that are going to move you forward, not things that are going to waste time. Or pull you back into that former self, the guy that's at the bar, you know, the guy that's getting in trouble, the guy that's getting arrested, the guy that has no drive, the guy that has no vision. Now you have mentors, you have a family, you have a wife, you have a great business, you have a great spot, you've cut out all the distractions and you help people become better. I mean, what is more better than that?
Yeah, no,
it inspires me, man. It inspires me having you on. I mean, I'm not just saying that to a pander, but it's true. I mean, that's why we wanted to have you on. And I don't know about Keith, but I've enjoyed it. And I definitely,
absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
Definitely think you should write a book. And I definitely think you should come back and hang out with
us. Actually, Scott, he actually did write a book. It's on it's on his website.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
Hey man, it's all good. It's all good. I'll send you the access. You can read it, listen to it.
Is it the ebook?
It's an audio book. Okay. And it's an ebook. It's all built into a members area and it's free. I'll just give it to you guys. You guys can
check. I downloaded one of the ebooks.
Okay, did you?
Nice. Yep. Nice. I haven't read it yet, but so
yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
I will.
But you know what? Like and the last thing I'll say here that's really important, something that you just touched base on. Is cutting out distractions. And I have to talk about this with clients. Certain clients are more receptive to being influenced by high dopamine releasing activities than others. There's addictive type personalities and then there's non-addictive type personalities. I'm an addictive type personality. I have a lot of clients that are addictive type personalities. A lot of entrepreneurs are addictive type personalities.
Keith and I too. Stuff, right? Yeah.
Yep. Same. And so I think the most important thing when it comes to cutting out distractions is managing, first of all, learning what dopamine is, and then managing your dopamine levels.
Yes.
And anything that spikes your dopamine levels needs to, if you want to be a focused person, high productivity person, anything that spikes dopamine levels massively with a small amount of effort needs to be limited.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, video games, drinking, porn, drugs, alcohol, you know,
social media,
scrolling social media. Exactly. Scrolling social media,
yeah,
whatever it is, those things will absolutely decimate a person's focus if they are an addictive type personality. So what I recommend is getting the dopamine releasing activities, especially if they're low work, high reward, limit them or use them as rewards only on the weekends or whatever.
Right.
Right. And that's what kind of will keep a person in check. And I have to do this with people all the time. You would not believe how many people are addicted to distractions.
We have a rule as a family, you know, like, and this rule is because of me. I implemented the rule in the house because of what I struggle with. Scott and I talked about, you know, last year, you know, your morning routine. When you first wake up, what do you do? Most of the time people go straight for the phone, right? They go straight for the phone to see what happened while they were sleeping, I guess. I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, so anyway, to wrap it up, you know, no phones at the dinner table. Be focused. Be in the moment. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at here, dude. And we know your time is valuable and you got to go. But I just want to thank you so much for being with us today, man. This has been great. And if there's anything I'll take that passing moment, man. The last thing that you said there is, you know, limit the things that will distract you. Limit your distractions. Be in the moment and press on. Scott?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I want to hire you. How do people find
Let's do it, man. So
how does our audience find Taj Howell so they can get better?
Awesome. So I like it when people do research on me personally. Anybody that you give money to or work with as a coach, you should know what that person's all about. You should see their consistency. You should see if they're actually making stuff happen. And so the first thing I recommend anybody do is check out my Instagram. That's where I'm primarily posting everything. My main Instagram page is Taj, TAHJ_IFBBPro. Okay, so that's my Instagram handle. Anyone can find me there. You'll find all my client testimonials, interview style testimonials. You'll find all my content, all my podcasts, everything that you need to know to do research about me. And then once you've done your research, you figured out if I'm your people, you know, then the next step is to head to evolvedexecs.com. So EVOLVEDEXECS.com, evolvedexecs, short for evolved executives. And there you can take a look at kind of what we do, the four steps of what we teach, some more of my testimonials, as well as book in for a phone call with me to just kind of discuss, you know. And I don't call them sales calls. For me, it's literally just like, hey, we're having a conversation. You know, if it works out, it works out. If not, no big deal, right? At least you get some insights as to what you need to figure out, and we can start progressing you on that call.
Outstanding. Nice. Man, thank you so much for being here, dude. I mean, whenever we met, I was like, this guy's got to be on the podcast. I could literally sit here and talk for days, and maybe we'll get time to do that on down the road. But for today, I appreciate you being on. I know Keith and I got a lot out of it as well.
Thanks so much, Taj. Thanks for being with the Real Deal Podcast. And as always, folks, surely you got some value out of this conversation, of this podcast. Like it, share it, subscribe. Until then, we'll see y'all next time.
See you guys next time.
Thanks, guys. If I could scream.